Mikey's Breakfast on Brentwood and Billericay's Phoenix FM. So Wednesday morning. Now, on the line right now, I've got a very, very interesting lady. This is part of our key mental health topics that we're going to be talking about this year, over the year anyway. Today, we're going to be looking at anxiety and depression. And on the line right now, I've got Sidra, who's the Secretary of Essex Mind and Spirit and Chair of Women Together. She's also a teacher of special educational needs, and she's a chaplain as well. Morning, Sidra.
Hello.
How are you today? Okay.
I'm fine, thank you. What about you? How are you?
I'm all the better for speaking to you. It's a lovely smiley face I can see in front of me.
Oh, lovely.
So, I mean, you're covering a lot there, aren't you? Do you find they all your different job titles interact with each other?
Definitely. So originally I got into anxiety and depression through my job. So I am a teacher of special educational needs children.
Right.
SENCO.
Okay.
And that's where I come across children who have got difficulties, special needs, like autism, dyslexia, ADHD. And hand in hand, that definitely and always goes with anxiety and depression.
Oh, really?
So that's how I got into all of that in the first place. And I do lots of voluntary work. And the voluntary work which I do is I run a women's group for vulnerable ladies who also may suffer from anxiety and mental health issues. So all the expertise which I have in my job, then I can then integrate that into my voluntary work. And Essex Mind and Spirit is also an organisation which deals with mental health, stress, anxiety, low moods. And again, I can incorporate all my expertise into that organisation as well.
So after COVID, are you seeing an influx, a higher amount of people this side of COVID that have got anxiety and depression? Or is it just the same amount as before?
I would say there's more. Before, the problems were rising in this field. And after COVID, I'm seeing more anxiety in children because they've been used to working from home in school. They've missed out a huge amount of schoolwork, actually, no matter how much we tried to integrate them through the online systems. It's not the same as interactive teaching face-to-face with other children. So I definitely found more mental health in children coming back into schools all of a sudden and trying to get back into the system again. And some children, they never even knew about the school system. They started off in reception class, all online.
So it's a complete change for them.
Yeah, I found it more in children, but also adults then found it very hard to get back into work when they'd had it relatively easy working from home and not travelling in and saving on diesel and petrol and things like that. And then all of a sudden then, you know, waking up early in the morning, going into work. Yes, certain amount of stress, more levels after COVID, I would say, definitely.
I did notice that my son, after COVID, we went to lockdown, and then it was looking like we were going to come out of lockdown. And my son was very cautious. I mean, he's 11 now. He was very cautious about going outside. So myself and the wife had to take him out for walks, just walks around the park. We've got a park opposite, and just get him used to. And then we sort of like broke down the anxiety that was inside him at that point. But anxiety is something you don't normally associate with children. It's, you know, I would normally associate with an adult thing. Is it a new thing in children?
It's definitely rising in children, definitely is. Special educational needs is rising in children due to so many factors. Lifestyle changes, the food, IT, you know, things like that is all of it is actually contributing towards more and more special educational needs in children. And the more special needs there are, the more you're going to see mental health and anxiety.
Yeah.
It all goes hand in hand, really, with all the special needs.
So
definitely rising amongst children at the primary level, whereas in the olden days, you would find it more at the secondary level.
Right.
Because of exams and around exams and higher education. But nowadays the curriculum has changed, and you would not believe it, but the primary school children are actually, the work they're doing is secondary level.
Really?
Yes, definitely. When I was at school, and I went to school in this country, it was very easy. As our primary school teaching was very easy work. We just about did adding and taking away and you know, it was fun, you know, and nowadays it's all levels, got to get up to this level, and it's all, you know, especially science. I would say what I learned in secondary school, they're learning at primary.
Oh, really? Wow.
And they're not ready. They're not ready.
Yeah, that it's a lot to
That.
take on.
Yes. So all of
So
that deals with the pressure as well, ends up with pressure and then anxiety.
when somebody comes to you and says, "I just feel sad all the time," have you got a process that you work through to say to you, "No, you're suffering with anxiety or depression or whatever the mental illness is"? Is there a route you walk all the time?
Yes, definitely. As a professional, we have to take things seriously. So we have a tick list, which we have got through the NHS, and it actually is a very good tick list questionnaire. And on it, you number it, and then according to the score, you can then definitely tell if somebody has got high level depression or just low mood
All right.
or high level anxiety, which will need medication. So with the high level anxiety and the high level depression, both of those, they need medication
Okay.
and definitely a counselor and also some self-help strategies.
Right.
Low-level sad moods and low-level anxiety you can manage with self-help and self-care things. For example, a nice socializing friendly network, support there, walks outside, exercise is very, very good for both. Hobbies. What are your hobbies? Do those hobbies that will make you happy, you see? Things like that can help with low-level anxiety and low-level depression and sad moods. But high levels, 100%, you need all three. You
Right.
need the self-help, which will relieve some of the symptoms, but you also need counseling and you also need medication as well.
Are you finding that there's one subject that's the flashpoint that makes people depressed? Is there a link between all the people that get depressed?
Okay, depression and anxiety, both of them, there's two types. One is genetic, which is your nature, which means it's inherited through the families. So, for example, if you've got parents who had depression or had any form of a mental illness like schizophrenia or bipolar or anything else, then the probability of you getting it will be a lot higher.
Oh.
Okay? It's inherited through the families. The other type of depression anxiety is actually nurture, which is to do with the environment. So you could be in, for example, a really toxic marriage with emotional abuse or domestic violence or physical abuse. That is then going to trigger the depression and anxiety. Or you could be in a very, very tough job where, you know, you're working 24 hours a day and it's really stressful. You're up on some management level. That then is going to cause you anxiety and depression as well. So there are two types. With the ones which are nature, where they are inherited through the families, most of those need medication to correct the imbalance in the brain and counseling as well. Or it could be a trauma that you've been through in the past that's caused it. It all depends on the severity of the condition. And usually a referral needs to be made once the tick lists are done to. Through the GP. The GP will then refer you to a psychiatrist and they will then deal with the medication and who you need to see. Low-level counseling, you can go to anybody, even private as well.
And how long did you have to study to be able to help people in this way?
I have actually been in this field a long time. So I started off as a teacher, ordinary primary school teacher, and suddenly there were so many special needs children in my
Yeah.
class. So I decided then to do a further specialism. So I did a master's in special educational needs, which covers mental health and anxiety and all the other mental conditions you can get. And that was over 20 years ago. And then after that, I became a chaplain where I dealt with adults in the educational sector, as well as the retail and the health sectors as well. So with the chaplaincy role, that is then where I did further specialist courses, like mental health first aid was one of them, where then I helped adults. But the symptoms are exactly the same. The process you take is exactly the same. It's just that you're working with adults and they've been living it a lot longer. Also, I think symptoms are a lot more exaggerated and shown more in children, whereas with adults, they're hidden. They learn to hide their symptoms, they learn to hide their moods inside themselves, and less likely to talk as well. A lot more stigma in adults, I would say, with mental health. Whereas with children, it's easy. They will tell counselors anything and everything. They're innocent. Easier to work with children, and you can get them to do programs very easily. With adults, there's a lot of stubbornness you can get where they think they're all right. My dad had the same, and he did all right, so I'm all right too. But they're not all right. They have been living with it a lot longer, and sometimes they get to hide their feelings, and they're not really, they're old school where they don't think there's a
They
problem.
just get on with it.
Just get on with
You
it.
had a lot of that outside coming out the back of World War II. People were coming out with, they used to call it shell shock then, and as we know now, it's PTSD. And they just got on with it. But now it seems to be coming in the forefront of people's mind that, hang on a minute, this isn't right. I'm constantly sad. We need to see somebody about this.
And also, I do find people are less resilient nowadays. But even if it ran in families, the elderly got on with things much more better. They were exposed to a lot more trauma, which helped them to get through mental health better. So the war, they saw hardship, they saw rationing, they saw poverty in their families. And they had a hard parenting style as well, on the whole. Parents were stricter, the cane at school. And because of that, they were a lot more resilient. But the nowadays generation, they are not as resilient as the older generation. So it may be the same condition, but they can't cope. Much less coping strategies. On the whole, they're exposed to less. Everything is easy. They get everything easy. They have everything. They have food on the table,
I think that's the problem. Everything is so easy now that the slightest little hurdle seems like a mountain to climb. This has been so fascinating. I could sit and talk to you all day. You are a very, very intelligent woman. That comes across very much. And it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Perhaps we can get you on at some time in the future if we can get together again, and we'll have another interview if that's okay.
Yes, definitely, because I could cover all the different special educational needs diagnosis that there is, like autism and dyslexia and all the others, ADHD and OCD and all of the others. I could talk about all of them.
Sidra, thank you so much for coming on, and we'll speak again soon.
Thank you very much.